Educators in schools all over Michigan will take a head count of their students next month that will determine their slice of the state funding pie. Michigan currently spends more than $7,000 each year per student. A new report from the Citizens Research Council of Michigan suggests lawmakers should alter its pupil per pupil allocation system to reflect the reality of steady declines in enrollments. The report indicates the drop is a product of factors both within and outside of each school district's control. To talk about these findings and the recommendations, Current State welcomes back Craig Thiel, Senior Research Associate with the CRC. Craig, welcome back.
Good morning, Mark.
Talk to us about this downward enrollment trend. What exactly have we seen in Michigan over the last decade, let's say?
Yeah, so it's not a new phenomenon, let's be clear on that. And as you mentioned, it's driven by factors both inside the control of school officials, but more so those that are factors that are outside the control of school officials. And so for about the last 10 years, we've been seeing declining statewide enrollment. The pupil number of pupils in the state was about 1.7 million about 10 years ago in 2003. And it's steadily declined about 11% to about 1.52 million students last year. So that decline has been driven by a reduction in birth rates. People are having fewer children than they used to, and that's something that school officials can't control.
I also flash on people leaving the state. I mean, that's a trend that got an awful lot of ink. Families.
Yep.
With kids of school age who had to go somewhere else during the Great Recession, for example.
Right. The economics in Michigan just weren't kind to a number of families, and they packed up to look for greener pastures. And, you know, we looked at some data that suggests that Michigan had net out-migration during this period. So as families left to seek employment, they took their kids with them. So those are factors, kind of broader demographic economic shifts have been taking place.
One rather worrisome detail from your report, though, was I noticed we still haven't hit bottom in enrollment, according to your data.
Right. The folks that look at this, the demographers, suggest that birth rates will continue to decline for a few more years, and that the school-age population and the enrollment in public schools is going to decline another 1.3% over the next 2 years. It's likely we'll hit an inflection point, but it may just hover at that level and stay steady at about 1.5 million for a few years after that.
Do you look far enough ahead to see a rebound, or do you just see it maybe just bottoming out and then staying level?
I think we see it bottoming out and kind of staying steady for a little bit before it rebounds. And I think if there's any rebound, it'll be modest at best.
We're talking with Craig Thiel, Senior Research Associate with the Citizens Research Council of Michigan. We're discussing the challenge of declining school enrollment in Michigan, which affects districts of all sizes. Let's get back to the factors schools can control and those factors that are out of their hands. Declining birth rates would pretty clearly be outside their hands, but talk to us about some of the factors they can control.
Right. So some of the factors they control is the quality of the education that they offer, the programming, both academic and non-academic. And we've seen that school districts compete pretty vigorously for these students. I mean, for the $7,000 that's attached to them. So districts are adding programs, adding services in hopes of gaining students from neighboring districts, and that's really the issue that we looked at here in this report, is kind of what's taking place between districts and how many districts there are in the state of Michigan now. State policymakers have implemented changes in the charter school laws to allow more charter schools in the state, and as a result, we've seen a growth in the number of charter schools and other providers, and that competition for students and more players in the marketplace has resulted in districts realizing declining enrollment.
Can Michigan schools, I'll ask you this. Does your report address whether Michigan schools can control these variables more effectively?
It doesn't address that, but what we found is that, you know, the statewide declining enrollment with the growing number of actors or participants in the marketplace, the math is just going to be that a number of districts are going to see their enrollment decline, and they need to, one, plan for that and prepare for the financial consequences that are going to occur with declining enrollment.
Very interesting transition here. So we've got a declining birth rate on one hand, fewer kids to actually send to school, a net number of school-age kids in the state, but at the same time, an expansion specifically of charter schools. So you've got, I take it we're seeing more schools and fewer students at the exact same time.
That's right. And so the analogy I like to use in explaining this is that the pie, the number of public school students is shrinking, and the number of slices that it's being divided up into are expanding. So we have a shrinking pie, more slices. It only stands to reason that certain slices are going to get trimmed a little bit.
It would seem that if a district loses, say, 50 students, that would be roughly the equivalent of two classrooms, maybe one and change. How are school districts responding to that, and what difficulties does that create?
Right. So, you know, the average school district, when we looked at this, is about 1,500 students. And say if you had a modest decline of about 3%, you lose about 50 kids. And across that school district of 1,500 students, 50 kids makes the case that you might be able to reduce maybe two classrooms, two teaching positions, and the supplies and materials that go along with that. The challenge, however, is that those 50 students that leave or that don't show up at your door are spread across, you know, 12 grades, likely four buildings. They're not concentrated in one classroom, a fifth grade classroom, for example. So finding a logical place to reduce the spending to match the reduced resources because you don't have those students is really hard. The cost pressures really don't change, at least in the short term, when you lose those 50 students.
I'm curious if your report, do school districts have, are there more variables in their control or outside of their control? Did you look at that? How do those compare to each
right.
other?
And on the spending side of the equation, other than the requirements to fund the retirement payments, the legacy costs that school districts are on the hook for, all the other spending is at their discretion, and they can make changes accordingly. It can be the case that you know, with a reduction in students and resources, that they decide to cut, in your example, cut a teaching position. What happens when that occurs is classes are going to expand. And then you have an issue of, you know, has the quality changed in the school district as far as the academic offerings? If you want to maintain, you know, class sizes, you're not going to cut that instruction spending.
Okay. It would appear that another factor here would be school districts' ability to negotiate contracts with teachers' unions that are more within their budgets, especially in districts where they're already facing financial pressures. Is that on the landscape here?
You know, those contracts are reviewed generally. Districts are going to be signing on to contracts for, you know, any number of years, 3-5 years, you know, and into the calculus and setting up those contracts is what's happening with enrollment and what happens if enrollment hits a certain level. Annually, districts have to look at those enrollment numbers and decide, you know, are we going to be able to afford the teachers that we had last year or not? And if changes.
Often we see a lot of pink slips every
yes.
spring when they crunch the numbers and they find out, well, we can't afford all the teachers that we had.
Right, exactly.
Often they're hired back. But.
Right. So the pink slips go out until this uncertainty with enrollment and finances kind of settle out.
We're talking with Craig Thiel, Senior Research Associate with the Citizens Research Council of Michigan. We're talking about the challenge of declining school enrollment here in Michigan. Your report describes a couple of recommendations for lawmakers to consider. One is to go back to the way financing used to be done in Michigan, that is to look at the previous year's enrollment, maybe go back even 2 years, and use that as the baseline per pupil allocation. What's the advantage to that, Craig?
Well, there's a couple advantages to that, Mark. First is predictability and setting the budgets for local school districts. They know what their enrollment was last year and the previous year, and if you use some component of those school counts in your enrollment for the current year, there's more predictability, more certainty in terms of budgeting, and no surprises, if you will. The other advantage, I think, is it gives districts, especially declining enrollment districts, a little more time to adjust to the financial effects of declining enrollment. Eventually, districts are going to have to right-size their budgets to meet the new number of students that are there, the lower number of students, but they get a little more time. It makes that transition mm-hmm. to the lower spending level a little more gradual. And so districts don't have to make drastic spending reductions year over year.
They're given a little more time. Of course, the revenue assigned to a school district in any given year may not reflect the enrollment reality if you hold on to a baseline for a couple of years. That would be the argument in the opposite direction.
Right.
It really doesn't reflect reality.
Exactly. There's, you know, criticisms if you go with these models where you base it on previous year's enrollments that you're funding, you know, phantom students. I would say that over time, eventually, those phantom students are the funding associated with those phantom students disappears, especially if the district's able to end their declining enrollment phase or start to improve and increase enrollment.
Understood. Another suggestion is to overhaul the way the school funding formula works to reflect this notion of fixed and variable costs. How would that work?
Right. So, you know, the $7,000 per student that each district on average gets, the funding formula treats those completely as variable costs. In other words, that when the district loses a student and that $7,000 goes away, the assumption in the formula is that the district can realize $7,000 worth of savings somewhere. The reality is when the revenue decreases, the cost pressures don't all of the cost pressures don't decline by the same amount. As our example with the 50 students leaving, it's likely that teacher is still going to remain on staff, and some costs that were tied to that student are still remaining with
right.
the district.
Right.
So our suggestion is to reexamine the structure of that $7,000 and maybe allocate it appropriately between what might be termed fixed costs or school-based costs and variable costs, those costs that change with the ups and downs of enrollment.
We got an important date on the calendar here this week, the State Revenue Estimating Conference, which figures into all of this. After that conference, what's the next step for your organization in terms of making policy recommendations? We got about 30 seconds, I'm sorry to say.
Yeah, real quickly, they're going to convene on Friday, determine what the resource base is for the state budget, both for the current year that we're in and the next two fiscal years. Those estimates become the basis for the governor's recommendation that's going to be coming out in February. And at that point, my colleagues and I will look real closely at the governor's budget, how he's recommending funding changes for different programs and services, and we'll come out with an analysis looking at the budget and where changes are recommended, new programs, increases, decreases. And as your listeners may know, things aren't looking too rosy for
That's right.
the budget as the projections get rolled out here with the revenues.
We'll keep an eye on it. We want to thank Craig Thiel, Senior Research Associate with the Citizens Research Council of Michigan, discussing the problem of declining school enrollment in Michigan, which is going to continue to go down for a few more years, according to the data, along with the all-important state funding. Craig, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Mark.